I always like the sugya of Yichud because it's a fairly self-contained sugya. It's about the blot and a half and the animus of his kedushin. It's one simon in Ebenezer. You can really walk away with learning the entire sugya. I never try to put it into 45 minutes, so we'll see whether we could do that as well. So let's discuss just a little bit of the overview in terms of the sugya of Yichud. What are the basic klalim in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch about Yichud? And we'll try to focus a little bit on some of the modern day shalas that come up, the most relevant shalas that arise bizman hazeh. So the Gemara derives from a series of psukim in Parshas Re'eh that there's a prohibition of Yichud. The Gemara learns out it seems to be somewhat of a difficult makor. The Gemara derives from a pasuk, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. The Gemara says that since the Torah uses the phrase ben imecha, this comes to be merames to us the following halacha, that since the Torah is talking about something happening in Yichud, the seisa, the Torah is talking about when someone's trying to be meisis you, to try to entice the person to do avodah zarah. So a person usually does that paseiser, as the pasuk says. So ben imecha comes to teach us that ben misyachin ima ve'en achim misyachin kol ra'ishim b'Torah, that only a son would be permitted to have yichud together with his mother, or a father with a daughter, very very close relatives would be permitted to have yichud with one another, in contrast to all other arayas, that one is not permitted to have yichud with any other woman who one is prohibited to marry. Again, difficult makka for us to understand this, but the ma'is, that's what the Gemara says, and the Gemara of Adizara interprets this to be a din d'araisa. So it's clear that we're dealing with an issa d'araisa in terms of yichud. There is some kind of a din tash b'peh that teaches us that any person or any woman or person is not permitted to marry, one is not permitted to be the yichud with as well. Nevertheless, the Gemara of Adizara qualifies this and tells us that not always is yichud a prohibition min haTorah. The Gemara breaks down yichud into three different categories. There's yichud with arayas, yichud with a woman who one is mamish not permitted to marry at all. That's clearly the arayas. The Gemara says yichud of the arayas is the arayas. Then the Gemara says that what if you have yichud of a pnuya? What if you have a single girl who happens not to be asur to you? She happens not to be your wife, but she's not asur to you. So the Gemara says that type of yichud is only yichud mid derabbanan. The Gemara says that David HaMelech instituted that issa derabbanan of yichud with a pnuya. And then the Gemara says on the later days, hundreds of years later, the days of Tamidei Shammai and Hillel, so they instituted yichud even with a non-Jewish woman. That the issa of yichud with a non-Jewish woman is also only mid derabbanan. It wasn't even included in the original gezeira of David HaMelech. It was a later gezeira. So in the end of the day, sometimes yichud is prohibited mid haTorah, sometimes yichud is prohibited mid derabbanan. What about for us in terms of our classic examples of scenarios of Yichud? So the problem is that most of the time when you have a single girl, so the single girl is a Nida, because our women do not go to the mikvah until they're married. So when you have a single girl who happens to be a Nida, according to many poskim, by the way, we assume halacha, that does constitute Yichud im arayos, and therefore that would be a violation of Yichud mid araisa. So Yichud with an Eshes Ish would be the araisa, Yichud with other kinds of relatives who are not included in whatever the heterim are, would be an issa d'araisa. Yichud with a single girl who's a nida would be d'araisa. The only time that we have shalas of yichud which are only mid-rabbanim bizman hazeh are usually yichud with non-Jews. So that, according to everybody, would only be a prohibition mid-rabbanim. Doesn't make that much of a difference. We like to keep mitzvahs, whether they're d'araisa or d'rabbanim, so we try to observe the Shulchan Aruch no matter what the source is. So practically speaking, there's not going to be that much of a difference. Sometimes when you have shalas that come up, how makel or how machel we're going to be in any given shal of yichud may depend whether we're dealing with yichud d'araisa or d'rabbanim. For the most part, 90% of the yichud shalas end up with shalas of yichud d'araisa, except for all the babysitter shalas, which are all yichud d'rabbanan, assuming if the babysitter is not Jewish. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Kedushin, and we speak about yichud, so yichud doesn't only mean one man with one woman. One man with two women can also be a violation of yichud. There's a further machlokes in the poskim. Is that also the araisa? So again, it doesn't make much of a difference. But lo yisyachid other mechani mishtei noshin. That's the beferish of Mishnah at the end of Kedushin, that there is an issa yichud gomer with one man and two women. In contrast to the other way around, the Mishnah says, if you have two men and one woman, so that's not considered to be a problem of yichud. Why is that? So the Gemara explains that the two men are not going to, they're not going to cover for one another, each one's going to snitch on the other, so therefore that's considered to be more of a heter, and therefore two men and one woman would be permissible in terms of yichud. Nevertheless, the Gemara qualifies this by saying that this only applies if the two men are anashim ksheirim, if they're people who are careful in these areas of halacha. If there are people who are prutzim ba'arayos, they're not careful in these areas of halacha, then this heter doesn't apply, then there's more reason to be chayshesh that they may come to cover up for one another, and therefore even two men and one woman would be a problem. How do we define what's called kosher, what's called tarot? So the Gemara tells a story about that Rav was once in a situation where it was two men and one woman, and he refused to be makil, to permit himself to do yichud in the two men and one woman. So the Gemara says the reason was because he felt that he wasn't considered to be a kosher. That he said, Rav said, that only someone who's a zat tzadik yisoid oilam, unbelievable tzadik gomor, only he's considered to be a kosher for these purposes, but Rav didn't think that he met those criteria. So there's a machlekes that Rishonim how to understand Pshat and this Gemara. So some Rishonim take the Gemara at face value that basically we have no ksherim b'sman hazeh for this halacha. And other Rishonim say Rav is only being machmer latzmo, that but the Ikar Adin, as long as the person is pretty much kosher, he doesn't violate these kinds of Yisurim, so then he is considered to qualify as a kosher for these purposes. So I'm minigis to be pretty makel on this. I'm always makel on this. We assume that two men and one woman, technically speaking, is not considered to be a problem of Yichud, provided that everybody involved are considered to be Anoshim Ksheirim. And Ksheirim doesn't mean you have to be Azad Tzadik Yisrael. It means that you basically keep all the halachas of Arayas and all the subcategories of Arayas, etc. The modern day post can discuss about what exactly that means, some of the nitty gritty stuff. So we're not going to go into the nitty gritty of that. There's probably some things you may see in some Svar may be a little scary to some people in America. But, you know, different standards of tzniyos and pritzos that may reflect different poskim's understandings of what those standards are. So we'll leave out again the gory details. Suffice it to say that a person is not nichshol in Gilui Arayos, a person is not nichshol in any things related to Gilui Arayos, a person isn't involved in chibuk and nishuk, doesn't actively go to inappropriate modes of entertainment. One who basically stays clear as best as they can of that area, observes that area of halacha properly, is considered to be a kosher for these purposes. So therefore, two men and one woman would be permissible. Nevertheless, the Gemara further qualifies this halacha, that two men and one woman is only permissible the yichud by yom v'nat b'layla. Laila here means at a time when people generally go to sleep. So we are concerned that if you have two men and one woman, if one of the men is going to fall asleep, so it's going to end up that there's nobody watching the other man and the woman. So that is going to be problematic. So it has to be at a time when people generally speaking are not sleeping in order for us to permit actively two men and one woman. So yes, there is a heter of two men and one woman, but it has to have all the conditions that Chazal delineate. It has to be a Nashim Ksherim, wherever you define that. And it has to be Bayom in contrast to Balayla. The Gemara lists off a whole series of different heterim within the realm of Yichud, and the idea behind these heterim are pretty much one and the same, namely that these serve as different types of deterrents that a person will not be chayte. If there's a sufficient deterrent in place, so that will solve any problems of Yichud. What are some of the deterrents that are labeled by Chazal? So the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin speaks about the heter of Baila Ba'ir. Let's say a person wants to have yichud with a married woman, and her husband happens to be in town. So even though her husband's not sitting in the room right now, Baila Ba'ir, the Gemara says that would be permissible. Even though Rashi seems to learn that it's not mutar lechatchila to do that, but L'maisa Tos is mostly Rishonim assume that it's mamash mutar lechatchila, and that's what we generally assume, that if it's Baila Ba'ir, so then the Isra of yichud does not apply. Why exactly is that so? Why is Baila Ba'ir serve as a deterrent? So there appears to be a Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam with some very important nafkaminas ladina. So Rashi writes that the woman is always afraid Dilma Asi, that the husband may really come. It means there's a practical fear, there's a real concern that the husband may actually show up at any given moment, and that will serve as a deterrent for the woman to be Chotei. According to Rashi, a group of Acharonim write that what if that fear doesn't really exist, that the woman knows the husband is not showing up so quickly? So then the het is going to fall by the wayside, and the Issa Yichud is going to be a Bimkama Omeid. So what would that halacha be in the following case? Let's say, for example, you have technically Baila Ba'ir, so a man and a woman want to have Yichud together in Washington Heights. So it's a married woman, and someone's coming to visit, and he wants to spend Bibi Yichud together with this woman, and her husband happens to work Ba'ir. He works in the city. He works in Brooklyn. And he just called from work 5 minutes ago that he's still at work and he's not getting onto the train to come home for a while. And she knows the fastest train in the world is still going to take you over an hour to get from Brooklyn back to Washington Heights. So there's no way in the world that this guy's ever going to show up in the next hour. So can you say that it's mutar now for her to have yichud? So Pasha's going to Rashi, that would be a problem. So that's the way Rav Moshe writes, that if you go with Rashi's mahalach, so you have to take every single case and analyze it very, very carefully. Is the woman really honest to goodness going to have this fear that he's going to pop in at any given moment? Let's not forget, by the year of the days of the Gemara, the cities weren't so big, so people weren't so busy, so the husband could theoretically come in at any given moment. Whereas today, let's say the husband, he could work across the street. For argument's sake, the couple lives across the street from the hospital, and the husband is a neurosurgeon, so the husband calls his wife at 6 o'clock in the morning and says, okay, I'm about to start neurosurgery, I'm not going to be out of here until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So she's pretty confident that he's not going to walk out of the surgery in the middle and come home for lunch. So that, l'chor, according to Rashi, doesn't meet the criteria of Baila Ba'ir. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam presents the heter of Baila Ba'ir in a little bit of a different nuance. The Rambam writes that, Amos Baila Aleha. that the woman is concerned that she has this awe, she has this trepidation, not that the husband's literally going to walk in at any given moment and catch her being a mezana, but rather that she has this general aura that, like I always quote the Rashi and Chumash, the musti yuknushal of nirlo. I mean, she has the husband's image in front of her, mind, and that's considered to be sufficient as a deterrent. If you go the root of the Rambam, that's a very, very different picture. According to the Rambam, so then it doesn't really matter whether the husband's going to mamish literally, physically walk in at any given moment, and she senses the husband's presence, that's considered to be sufficient. That would be a tremendous kula. There are many poskim who do rely on the shittas around them. So those who are stuck have to rely on the shittas around them. Definitely yesh lehem al mi lismoch. There is another het there that at first glance appears to be similar to Baila Be'ir, but yet if one looks a little bit carefully, one notices that the Lashon of Chazal was in fact not that way, and the similarity perhaps ends at the superficial point. The Gemara speaks about Ishto Imo. The Sugi Maseches Kedusha talks about that if a man wants to have yichud with a woman and the man's wife happens to be around, so that's not considered to be yichud. So here, most of the posts can pick up on the nuance of Chazal, that when it comes to Baila Be'ir, Chazal used the phrase Baila Be'ir, the husband is somewhere around in town, whereas when it comes to Ishto Imo, so it doesn't say Ishto Be'ir, it says Ishto Imo, that his wife is with him. So that led many poskim, probably most poskim, to conclude that Ishto Imo means Imo, that means she's mamish there. Well, even if she's not physically sitting in the room at the moment, but she's outside, she's in the backyard, she's on the porch, I mean, she's mamish up there, not that she's in theory 20 blocks away, that she may pop in 20 minutes from now. Well, according to the Rambam, this general aura that the husband's afraid that his wife is around. So if you go that route, so then one has to be very careful before invoking this heter of Ishto Imo, one should not confuse this heter with the heter of Baila Be'ir. So the Kopon and Baila Be'ir is a heter, it is a valid heter, depending on the different opinions as to when it applies, based on Rashi and the Rambam, but there definitely is such a heter out there called Baila Be'ir. There is another heter that the Gemara discusses in the end of Maseches Kedushin, and that's the heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Shesarabim, that if the door is open to the street, people can come in, so that's not considered to be a problem of Yichud. What exactly does that mean? How do we translate the phrase Pesach Pasuach L'Shesarabim? So this is the big machlekes in the earlier poskim. Pasuach could mean one of two things. Either Pasuach could mean it's literally open, mamish wide open, that everybody could see in, or Pasuach just means that it's unlocked, and anybody in theory could walk in at moments' notice. So what would the halacha be in terms of Yichud? So the Pesach Tshuva quotes a big deal from the earlier poskim, what the halacha would be. The Pashas at Dvarim is that it doesn't really make that much of a difference whether you literally translate Pasuach to mean open, like the door is mamish swung wide open, or it means that somebody can theoretically walk in. L'chor, what's more important than the details of the nuances of the word Pasuach is the reality. Namely, what is the fear? Is there a real fear that the couple has that somebody may actually come in? So you can have different societies and different communities where the standards are a little bit different. The standards of intrusiveness are a little bit different. So let's say if you live in certain communities, if you leave your door wide open, so somebody may tackle walk in. The super may walk in to see what's going on. A neighbor may walk in to see what's going on. Somebody may walk in, take something from your refrigerator. I don't know, people have a much more cozy bungalow colony in a Washington Heights community types of places. So people spazier in and out of other people's apartments. So if you have such a setup, so then as long as somebody on the outside realizes that the door is open, so if it's open in such a way that the person would feel fairly comfortable to walk in, that would be good for us. That may not be good in general for us, but that's good for us in terms of Hilchos Yichud, because that creates that status of Pesach Pasuach L'Shesarabim. Masha'enkin, if you live in a place where nobody would ever dream in a million years of walking into your apartment, even if it is wide open, so unless the couple is sitting mamish in front of the door, they're sitting in front of the door and somebody could see them, so then okay, that's not yichud b'chlal. But if the couple's in the back room and nobody could see them, so the fact that the door is open, that doesn't necessarily attract the visitors. It may attract other kinds of people to the apartment, but it doesn't attract people to necessarily pop in and see what's going on. So l'chari, that's not for the Pesach Pasuach L'Shesarabim. So rather than focusing so much on the technical details of is the door open, is it unlocked, is it locked up, but l'chari, what's more important is the reality, how much of a deterrent is really going to be present. L'chari, this will also, the halacha will change depending on the time of day and night also. That, let's say, if a person has Pesach Pasuch L'Shesarabim, but there are no Shesarabim, there's nobody there. I mean, the door is wide open, but nobody has ever walked down the street. So it's after Asher Tichel Rechem and Ashuch. So even if you hold Nevis Chanukah, you can light till 9 o'clock, till 10 o'clock, till 11 o'clock, whatever. But at some point, you reach the point where there's nobody in the street, unless you live in the middle of Washington Heights. If you live in the cave, you're in the Y.U. dorm, so then there's no Tichel Rechem and Ashuch. But if you live in a regular place where there are sleeping hours, so you're not during finals when there are sleeping hours, so then you reach a certain point where Pesach Pasuch L'Shizram isn't really going to play a role. So the question of Pesach Pasuch L'Shizram, it's a great hat there, but you have to just be careful before you actually invoke it, L'maisa. The Nedi Behuda writes that a corollary of the rule of Pesach Pasuch L'Shizram would be a situation where even though the door is not technically open, but somebody could see through, maybe there's a window. So if there's a window that's easily seen through, that would also solve any potential problems of Yichud, provided that you're sitting in a place where they can actually see through. If you're, say, a person has a window that's wide open, they open up the shades, but they happen to be on the 58th floor, so nobody can see you. So that's obviously not a Pesach Pasuch L'Shizram. If you're on the ground floor, and the window is open, and the shades are open, and somebody can actually see you, so then L'Chara, that would qualify as a Pesach Pasuch L'Shizram, even though nobody can actually walk in, but they can actually see you from the outside. I one time had an interesting application of this Nedi Yehuda, not in terms of the Isra of Yichud, but in terms of the Din of Yichud after Arachasana. So we know there's a Machlekes HaRishonim when the Gemara tells us that a couple has to have Kiddushin HaNisuin in order for the marriage to be complete. So there's a big Machlekes HaRishonim, what exactly is Nisuin? So one of the many opinions as to what Nisuin is the Shittas HaRambam. So the Rambam says it has to be Yichud, it has to be Yichud HaRoy Labi, it has to be the same type of a Yichud, L'chora, that would be problematic in terms of Hilchas Yichud. So let's say, according to the Rambam, if the door is wide open and everyone's walking into the Yichud room, that's Nishkin Yichud. So it has to be a Yichud, it has to be a Lachik Yichud. Whether we pass it to Rambam or not is a different story, but we try to be Chayshish for the Rambam. When possible, so at least in Ashkenazi communities, we try to have a formal Yichud right after the Chuppah, but that should suffice. The Shittas Rambam, that's called the Yichud HaRoy Labia. So that Yichud, L'chora, is bound by the regular rules of Hilchas Yichud. Whatever is also Mishum Yichud, that constitutes a Yichud for the purposes of the Shittas HaRambam. So one time I was Masada Kedushin in a place that I wasn't familiar with, and we come into the Yichud room, and I noticed that the Yichud room was facing the parking lot, and there were very, very big windows in the Yichud room, and there were no shades. So, and it was in the ground floor. So I said to the couple, I said, we gotta go find another room. I said, you can't have Yichud in this room. So of course the caterer, the wedding planner, everyone got to jump on me and said, what? We can't redo this. This is what all the rabbis do it. I said, the Nerdy Huda would never be Masada Kedushin here. I said, you can see right through. So I said, what are we gonna do? So Masada Kedushin always has to be ready for all possible emergencies. So what I did was very simple. It was a very, very big room, and the windows were all on one side, but if you go all the way in the corner, so you were out of view from the outside. So I told the couple they should stay in the corner. They should huddle in the corner for the first 7 minutes of marriage life together, so at least they should be yaitzeh the din of Yichud. But what was the problem? The problem was there was no food there. The table was in the middle. So I said, what's the big deal? So I doubled as a caterer also. So I moved over the whole table for them and the chairs. I set them up. I said, don't move out of this corner. You move out of this corner, you're not married. So I said, you're not stay behind the closed doors. Anyway. As Masada Kedushin once, where there were two doors to the Yichud room. So some postman on the Ora Rishayla, if you have two doors to the Yichud room, so then how do you ever have Eidos that the door is closed? Normally the Eidim stand at the outside and they're made that the couple is behind closed doors. So you have to have another set of Eidim who stand by the other. So you have to, it's good, you can be Mechabit four friends. So you have two Eidim on one door and two Eidim on another door. So some postman on the Ora, maybe it's a Shal of Dover Vlochatzi Dover. There's a whole sugya in Bava Kama Devayin about if two Eidim are made on half a story and two Eidim are made another half a story, whether that's called an Eidus or not. So I was once Masada Kedushin where this was the Shaila. So there was another Chashav Rav there who was hacking me about this. So I said, what do you want me to do? He said, it's the only room they have. They said, there was no other room to be. So I said, it's a machlek, it's Taiz in the Rif, a whole complicated sugya in Bava Kama, Bava Kama. Is that called a Chatzidav and not a Chatzidav? I said, no, it's good enough. Better than nothing. Better than the guys with the wide open window. Anyway, so Shasav Chak had to be Mekel. So when you get married, try to make sure that the Yichud room is a normal place. Anyway, this idea of the Nedi Behuda that windows count as Pesach Pesuch L'Shisravim, this was the background for the Machlekes HaPoskim about cars. Is there a problem of Yichud in a car or not? So, L'Chora, a car is a Pesach Pesuch L'Shisravim. It's not Pesuch in the sense of no one can walk in, the door is locked, so no one can walk into the car. You stop at a red light. I mean, sometimes somebody can, but you don't want those kind of people. But if L'Chora, somebody can see from the outside, they can see through the window, so that in and of itself should solve the problem of Yichud according to the Nedi Behuda. So the question becomes, is that really a good application of the Nedi Behuda? So this is probably a throwback to what we mentioned before. The Pesach Pesuch L'Shisravim is going to change, potentially, according to the time and place, just how much of a deterrent is it. So just as Pesach Pesuch L'Shisravim is only true when there are people around, at a time when there are people around, when it's realistic there are people around, So the same would be true in a car. The Pesach Pasuk L'Shir Saram would only make sense in a car setting if people are really around. So are the people around or not? So this was a big machlokes. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, a famous tshuva, about whether a person is permitted to give a woman a ride back from the mountains. That was the shadow that Rav Moshe was asked. It happens all the time that a guy wants to give a woman a ride back from the mountains. He's going to ride down these windy roads in the middle of the night, and there isn't going to be anybody around. So Rav Moshe is worried about the fact that this could be a problem, that if it's really a place where there are no other cars, so this would be a problem. Are there any objective rules? How do you know whether there are cars, not cars? So it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, he gave the 10-minute rule. That if you drive in any given place and for 10 minutes pass that you don't see a car, so that's indicative of the fact that's not populated enough. That's already too sparse. There's no real fear of that the people are going to have a realistic deterrent. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't seem to go along with those lines of giving an absolute number. Rav Shlomo Zalman sounds, from one of his truvas, that wherever you're driving, it's short of driving a Siberian Alaska highway or somewhere, in the middle of Mamish in Hupitsville. So okay, maybe that would be a problem, but if you're any semblance of civilization, so even in the mountains, those who are driven the roads in the mountains know, even if you drive down 247 past Marashah, even in the middle of the night, there's always some guy coming back from DJs or something, so somebody's there. So it's hard to put absolute ironclad numbers on this, but the idea is that if it's anything within reason, that doesn't mean that someone's mom is going to come, but they have a fear. If you feel uncomfortable, think to yourself, if you were doing something inappropriate, would you be afraid that somebody may pull over and say, what's going on over here? There's a couple staying on the side and doing something inappropriate. They may draw attention and somebody would actually see what's going on. You would not be involved in such an act in the middle of the road. So that's already enough of a mirsus. That's enough of a deterrent to permit the yichud. So again, different posts can put actual numbers on it. It's hard to know where to draw those lines. What do you mean? No, it means I'm choshish in the following. I'm choshish in a good way. It means I'm inside the car, so I want to be matir yichud because I'm afraid, I'm nervous, somebody's going to pull over and see me. So that serves as a mirsos. That serves as a deterrent. According to the Machmirim, even if they're driving, it would be yichud. Right? According to the Mekilim, so that it would be mutter no matter what. Assuming that people could see through. So if you have tinted glass on your windows or something, I think you're not allowed to have it in the front, no? Against the law. So if you have if your whole car is all tinted glass, so then you have problems. But most of us don't drive those kind of cars.
What would be the
I don't think that makes a difference. I think you would still you would feel uncomfortable about that. So that's also called the mirsus. I think so. So we have these official mirsuses, these official deterrents that Chazal were kaveh for us, either the case of Ba'al Ba'iyah or Pesach Pasuk L'Shis Rabim. There is a big machlekes in the Gedolei HaBoskim as to, are we permitted to extend some of these klalim? Are we permitted to, in a sense, make up our own kinds of mirsuses? Are we permitted to say that, well, based on the context, it's very, very unlikely that the couple is going to be chayti because they have something to be afraid of. But we can't pinpoint one of these two official mirsuses. We can't pinpoint and say, yeah, this is okay because it's Ba'al Ba'iyah, and this is okay because it's Pesach Pasuk L'Shis Rabim. Can we make up our own type of a deterrent? So this seemed to be a machlekes between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, it was a very, very important Tshuva B'Shaito, it's still important to this man Hazeh, a little bit less, we'll see in a moment, but he discussed the issue of doctors. Is there a problem of yichud in the setting of a doctor's office? So at first glance, if you close the door, so there's a man and a woman together in the room, so it sounds like that's a problem. So the question is, does it meet any of the criteria that we have? So if it's Ba'al Ba'iyah, if it's the patient, let's say if it's a male doctor and the woman's husband is taka around, okay, so there's Ba'al Ba'iyah, then it's going to be mutter. If it's Pesach Pasuk L'Shis Rabim, that people can mamar see in, that your office has windows to the parking lot or something, okay, but most people don't have that. So is it really Pesach Pasuk L'Shis Rabim? Quite possibly not. So Rav Moshe had the following Chiddush L'Halacha. Rav Moshe said that a doctor in the course of a routine, office hours, so what he has to set up in his office is as follows. He has a patient in the room with him, and now he's got a secretary in the front, he's got a nurse, he's got a physician assistant, he's got people who are floating around, and he's got patients inevitably who are sitting in the waiting room. Well, waiting, that's their job, it's in the waiting room. So he said, you have a lot of people who are floating around in the setting, and the doctor knows that even though no one's necessarily going to mamish barge in, no patient's going to come marching into the exam room unless they were asked to come, but afal b'chein, it's very unlikely the doctor's going to do anything inappropriate under these settings. Coupled with the fact that Moshe writes that he knows that if he ever would get caught doing something inappropriate in the doctor's setting, he'd be out of business. He'd lose his license in a second. So comes a Moshe and says he thinks that that setting of a doctor's office creates a mirsos. That creates a deterrent in and of itself. So even though you can't pinpoint, it's not a real Pesach Pesach L'Shasaram, it's not a real Baal of the Year, but maybe the setting itself would be okay. In contrast, what Moshe says, what if you have after hours? Let's say the doctor tells a particular woman, come, I'll do you a favor, I'll come, I'll examine you at 7 o'clock at night. After the nurse left, after this one left, there's nobody there. So Moshe says, then a father tells her, unless it's Baal of the Year, unless it's whatever other criteria would be permissible. But if it's in the normal setting of office hours, if Rabbi Yishu was night of a based in that svara, so Rabbi Shlomo Zalman in other places denies that svara. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, "Ein lanu lachadish me'atzmeinu heterim." That Chazal would convey certain things that Chazal determined are considered to be enough of a mirsas, enough of a deterrent. Whereas b'zman hazeh, "Ein lanu lachadish me'atzmeinu such kulas." It could be that things have gotten a little bit better since the time that tshuva Rabbi Yishu was written. It could be due to the deterioration in the world standards of morality, so it may have made things a little bit better in terms of Ilchus Yichud for the following reason, that some doctors want to protect themselves, they want to cover themselves, so some, I don't know, tell me whether the details are true medically, but some of the doctors apparently will have the nurse walked in, or will have somebody walked in, will not set themselves up in a room alone with a woman, not because they're so makbid and Evan Ezer Simon Chavez, but because they don't want to get sued, they don't want to get accused, they don't want to be on the front page of the Times. So therefore, it could be that Bezman Hazeh, you may have a real Pesach Pesach Lishas Rav under certain circumstances. So if the doctor could arrange some kind of a setup that people do have a little bit of a free rein into the room is never really locked, and people, not other patients obviously, but if some professionals do walk in and without warning beforehand, and the doctor is not really in control of what's going on, so l'chore, that should be a Pesach Pesach Lishas Rav, possibly, even according to the Chalkum and Rav Moshe.
The doctor would just bring in
it would be one, right, unless it's two men and the other man is from, right. But it could be that the aura of having people spaziering in, you know, at whim, so that would be more of a Pesach Pesach L'Shas Rav, perhaps, even according to those who disagree with Moshe. Yeah, you have more?
The other male person have to be Jewish and have to be
would have to be from. If you want to just rely on the heter of two men and one woman, then it would have to be two from men. Right? Okay. So doctors have to all bring in their, we have to train from people. That's the only answer. This problem becomes even more complicated, not so much in a medical office, but we have this problem, a very, very common problem in terms of therapists, that a man wants to go to a woman's therapist and vice versa, and there we try the utmost, obviously, to preserve privacy. So what are you going to have? You can have the nurse is going to walk in, the secretary is going to walk in, another patient is going to walk in. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So there becomes much, much more serious problem. I mean, there were certain therapists who asked me this question, how to get around this problem. So he asked them, is there any windows, is there anything? So they said, yeah, there's a window that's stuck up by the parking lot. He must do his therapy in that place where he's in condition. So he has a window by the parking lot, but he said, but in a million years, he can't open the shades. If he'd open the shades, the patient would close the shades. No one wants to see who's coming in. So he said, it's not a problem. I said, I'm not sure what the answer to the problem is. So one possible suggestion, I don't know whether this was practical, Bechlal, I don't know whether he took me up on it, but one possible suggestion is what if you would have a video, if you would have a camera, what would be on? And the question is, which patient would like to be videoed? Well, you would probably have to tell them, otherwise you'd probably get sued for some breach of privacy or something. So you would have to advertise that you videotape all proceedings. I'm sure that would probably knock into your panos a little bit. But the question is, who exactly would be watching this video? So the suggestion was, well, let it be linked up to the doctor's, the therapist's wife. So let the wife at home, not that she's going to be sitting, she has nothing to do all day and sitting watching her husband's interview to clients, but in theory, the wife could turn on the camera at any given moment. Maybe that's like a shtickle ishto imo. Maybe it's even better than a festival of Sichlus Shizram. It's mamash imo b'michitz also. She's there. She's there, the real McCoy. So I don't know, that's on a little bit of beer. I'm not sure, you know, you have to work that out, you have to work it out apimitzias, whether it really makes much of a difference. But that issue in terms of cameras, how much we rely on cameras for these kinds of things, is an interesting shot that goes way beyond the Hilchus Yichud. The post-Midrash Yisrael discussed this. This is an issue in terms of Cholot Yisrael. Can you have Yisrael or Eyo? The Mishnah says, according to those who don't want to rely on government inspection, so Yisrael or Eyo, you want to have Mamash, a Jew, standing and watching. So does the Jew have to be a person with a long black coat, long white beard, with a face, or could it be a video camera that's hooked up to somebody 2,000 miles away who's sitting and watching the milking taking place? That's also called Yisrael Re'eyo. So again, that's a question that requires beer in other areas of Allah as well. Anyway, So getting back to the story, so we have a few official mirsuses that Chazal speak about, and then you have these open types of mirsuses that we're not sure whether they really exist altogether. Who exactly is included in this Isser of Yichud? So we started off the shiur by saying that there are a few different categories. Some Yichud is Deraisa, sometimes it's Derabanan, sometimes it's an earlier Takanas Achamim, sometimes it's a later Takanas Achamim. But basically Yichud can be broken down to Deraisa versus Derabanan. However, there are certain relatives who are not included in the Isser Yichud, which the Pasuk itself explicitly states. The whole mark of the Issa Yichud was Bein Misyachrim Imo, Bein Achim Misyachrim Chol Raisha B'Torah. That a son and a mother are for sure permitted to have Yichud. A father and a daughter are for sure permitted to have Yichud. A son and a grandmother, the Poskim assume, are permitted to have Yichud. A father and a granddaughter are permitted to have Yichud. So that direction that goes directly, lineage goes ups and downs. So those are for sure permitted to have Yichud. Those are the same Krovim where the halacha states that one is permitted to have chibuk minishuk with, one is permitted to kiss one's mother, a father is permitted to kiss one's daughter, that one shouldn't be from in this area. If a mother wants to give you a kiss, so don't tell your whole story that it's an isser in Shulchan Aruch and it's a this and that and the other thing, it's a beferish and it's mutter. So the mitzvah deraisa kibbutz avim applies, so one shouldn't be pulling a shtick in this area. Shouldn't pull a shtick in any area, but particularly in this sensitive area. So the halacha is that there is no issur of yichud b'chlal with fathers, daughters, sons, grandparents, grandchildren, etc. What about when we start to branch out in terms of other relatives? So the Gemara discusses in the end of the Sefer Kedusha, what about a brother and a sister? So the Mishnah doesn't speak explicitly about it, so it appears to be a machlokes in the Gemara. So we pass in the halacha as follows, that a brother and a sister are permitted to have yichud together. However, the Gemara says, Misyachet Adami Machosa, according to that opinion that we follow, Misyachet Adami Machosa, the Eno Darimo. But Eno Darimo, he's not permitted to actually live together with his sister. What does that mean? So if a brother and sister once in a while want to be together for a couple of hours, that's perfectly okay, we assume halacha, but they shouldn't be living together. Namely, so he's a little low on funds and she's low on funds. They're both single, they want to rent an apartment nights together, so that's not appropriate. That's not appropriate, that's also that a brother and sister are not permitted to actually live together. Derech dira, derech kvias. Where do you draw the line? What's considered to be just the visiting, and at what point do you say that they're actually living together? So this seems to be a machlekes poskim. So Rabbi Yashiv and some earlier poskim seem to say that the cutoff point is 30 days, the same way we find in other areas of Hilchos Tzedakah and Hilchos Mezuzah, the 30 days plays a role in terms of who's considered to be where you're living. So maybe that's the cutoff point here also. And Rabbi Yashiv says he doesn't think that that's an ironclad number called 30 days. Rabbi Yashiv says he thinks it all depends on context, that if their mamish looks like they're living together, so even though it's less than 30 days, that would be a problem. So Rabbi Yishit discusses a common shy, let's say, you come from out of town, and your sister has an apartment in the city, and you're coming to visit for a couple of days, so you come in, so you're staying overnight, that's not called dira yet, you stay for another night, that's also not called dira, you stay for a third night, that's not called dira. At what point do you say it's called dira? So the folks will discuss, but once you start to unpack, the problem is that, well, for yeshiva guys, that could be a whole year, that could be 5 years until they actually unpack. So that may not necessarily be a good litmus test as to what's considered to be dira or not. So at the point when it appears to us from the context that you're not going anywhere so fast, so that's considered to be no longer a guest. You're already considered to be a dar der kvios. Even if it's before 30 days, maybe one should try to avoid that. What about other kinds of relatives? So here the simple pshat and halacha is that all other kinds of relatives are problematic. So there's aunts and extended sisters-in-laws and things of that, cousins, things of that nature. So those are problematic. That's the pashtus in the halacha. Not only are extended relatives problematic, they may even be more problematic than regular yichud for the following reason. The Gemara tells us in Kedushin that some of that teirim that we mentioned before don't apply if it's libo gaspa, if a couple are very close to one another. So let's say they're good old friends. They went to elementary school together. They know each other from camp there. And now she's married to somebody else. So the Gemara says that the regular heter of Baal Abiyah wouldn't apply if it's libo gaspa. They know each other already for a while. They're close to each other. They're too friendly. So we wouldn't invoke the heter of Baal Abiyah. There's a shayla in the poskim. What about the heter of Pesach, Pesuch, and Shezerabim? That's unclear. But the heter of Baal Abiyah wouldn't apply. So sometimes you can have a situation where if it would be a stranger woman, so then it would be mutter, it's Baal Abiyah. But if it's your sister-in-law, if it's your cousin or something who you may be very close to, so that could potentially be more problematic than a regular Isser of Yichud. So again, so the absolute close relatives, direct descendants of mutter, sisters or brothers are basically mutter, just for that detail of not to live together with their kriyas. Other extended relatives could sometimes will be also, but can even be potentially more chomer than regular yichud. When we speak about certain relatives who one is permitted to have yichud with, so when we say that I'm permitted to have yichud, let's say with my mother, with my daughter, with my sister, and not their chavios, so what would the halacha be if there's another woman around? So what if you have, I want to have yichud together with my sister and somebody else. So there's no issur between me and my sister, but who says that we have to go one man and two women is a problem? So maybe there's an issur of yichud between the other woman. So here the question becomes, can the sister serve as a shomeres? Do we assume that anyone who a person is mutter to have yichud with, they can turn around and serve as a deterrent that the man will not be chayte with even the other woman who was present? So this is a big machlekes aposkim. This is a very, very common shabbos, all the time. Let's say a boy and a girl, a brother and sister are home together for Shabbos. The parents go away, the brother and sister are home for Shabbos. And now the sister wants to have a friend over. Whether that's a good idea, a bad idea, that's a different story. I want to know, tachos, is it also mutter? Forget about, is it the appropriate thing right now? So is that technically an issur or not? So that will depend on the shaila. If you hold that the sister can serve as a deterrent and therefore she could be matter the whole yichud, then it would be mutter. If you hold that the sister is not a deterrent and she's just, you're allowed to have yichud with her, but you're not allowed to have yichud with her friend even though she's there, that would be a problem. So different posts can discuss this. Rav Moshe Mikra didn't seem to be making on this, and many, many poskim are machmer on this. Some poskim will draw distinctions between Yom versus Laila, a little bit more machmer on Yichud Balaila than we are by Yom. So there are different opinions in the poskim about practically how to pass it in the Shaila. But this is a very real issue that comes up. Rav Moshe was making, and others are not so convinced that we should be making. There is another relative, a very close relative, one's closest relative, hopefully, where over there's no problem with yichud, that's with one's wife. So even though when the wife is asur, she's anida, so that would still not be a problem with yichud. The Gemara actually raises the question, Masechta Sanhedrin, the Gemara explains that it's not a problem, because we assume that suga b'shashayim, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shira Shirim, that basically teaches us that we assume pas pasalo, that the couple are not going to be chayti, since she's going to become uteris in the near future. So Tosis has a whole discussion, how the Chazal really know that, that's a din deraisa, and Tosis gives you a whole shtickle Torah, how Chazal figured that out. But lemaisa, that's a din, that there's no iser v'yichud with ishto nida. Nevertheless, the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Ksuba says one exception to that rule, and that's the case of ishto nida kodem b'yirishona. So if a woman is a nida and the couple have not yet been together, so then we assume there's a more chashash that they may be chote, the yitzar is greater, and therefore what would otherwise be permissible is a problem. That's the Issa Yichud with Ish Talmid, the Kodah B'Yerushalma, the Machlekes HaPoskim, is that the Araisa not, the Chazanish claims based on a Raivid that's only an Issa the Rabbanan, but whatever it is, the Araisa the Rabbanan, the Maisa the Gemara is the Feirish. It's that halacha that has created a whole market of birth control pills before couples get married. So years ago, no one ever thought of this, that before there were birth control pills, before there were ways to monitor women's cycles, so if a woman, you try to plan a chasana date, so if you pick the right date, so good. If it turns out not, but the woman's cycle gets out of sync, so then you go. So then the woman doesn't need them. Finish. You have a chuppas need, there's nishke felach. That's why in the Hasidic communities, they don't plan a wedding, they don't set a date unless it's within 3 weeks. And only after the woman gets her last period, so then they plan the wedding accordingly for 3 weeks from there. So if you get an invitation to a Hasidic wedding more than 3 weeks in advance, you know they're not real Hasidim. But in our circle, so people have very, very long engagements. So I'm not the biggest fan of long engagements, but one of the downsides of long engagements, that's very, very hard to play the probability theory. That means if you're holding in September, you're trying to figure out, you're setting a date for June, so a lot of things can go wrong in the next 10 months. So it's a flip of the coin, whether you're going to get it, whether you may, at the time when she's muteris, whether she's asura. So because of this problem, this issue, so a lot of women came up with this great idea that they approached their doctors to try to go on medication, to try to monitor their cycles, to play with their cycles in such a way that we know for sure that she's, for sure, we don't know anything for sure, but yeah, better chance that she'll in fact be muteres at the time of the wedding. As what's so gefelech if she's asur at the time of the wedding? So not because they're chayshish for the Rambam. The Rambam says chuppas nida is not chal. It's not the nesuin won't be chal if it's chuppas nida. So not everyone's not so firm. They're not chayshish for the Rambam. What they're really concerned about is this halacha, because if it's a chuppas nida, so then the couple cannot go home together because it's kodem bir rishona. So they're assumed to one another. There's an issa yichud. So they would have to go back to the parents' house. So they have to take his hotel room, she'll take her hotel room. Not gonna be very pleasant. So to avoid this whole problem of yichud and ishto nida, couldn't be a rishona. So the doctor's making a killing in terms of putting all the women on medication. Whether it's a good idea or a bad idea is not the scope right now, but I'd be more than happy to talk about anybody privately about this if it's relevant for you. But lamais, that's what's going on. Now, those are the facts on the ground now, which all came about because of this halacha of the Issa Yichud, with Ishta Nida, Kaidem Bia Rishona. When we speak about relatives who are permitted to have a Yichud with one another, so the post can discuss some interesting applications of the Shaila. One is a question of Geirim. Let's say you have a whole family that was not Jewish, and they all convert together. So are they permitted to have Yichud with one another, the father and the daughter, the mother and the son, the brothers and sisters? We know, technically speaking, in the Torah, Geshen is Gad, Kutn, Shinol, Dami, they're born again, so they're not really related to one another. So most of the poskim assume that, yeah, that's true for Ilchus Yichus and the Eidus and other things, but Tachlis, genetically, biologically, they're still related to one another, and therefore the Yitzhara, we assume, doesn't exist. So the father and the daughter and the mother and the son and the brother and the sister, whoever was Mutter when they were, if they were born Jews, so they would also be Mutter in the context of Geirim. If this is true, that these halachas of yichud, the definitions of krovim for the purposes of yichud, follow biology, they don't really follow what the quote-unquote the pure halacha is, so then l'chora, this is going to cause a serious issue in terms of adopted children. So what would the halacha be? Would there be a heter of yichud? Say a father, a couple adopts a child as a baby, would there be a heter of yichud or not? So many, many poskim held absolutely not, that there's no heter whatsoever, because they're not physically related to one another, not biologically related. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Teva that a father's most likely not going to start up with his daughter, the mother's not going to be with her son, or the brother and sister are going to stay away from one another. But if they're not biologically related, so then one could strongly argue that Teva doesn't exist, and therefore the issue is Mekama Omer. That's what many, many posts can help. One could possibly argue, but there was some posts who suggested this idea, that depends on what age the couple adopts the child. If they adopt the child, if a couple adopts a girl at the age of 14, so then in the chinami, then there may really be a yitzhara there. If a couple adopts a baby at birth and they raise this child as their own, so maybe one could argue, perhaps, I'm not saying one should argue that way, maybe one could argue that whatever deterrent exists by biological children maybe exists there also, perhaps. So Rav Moshe has an interesting pshara, which is really Rav Moshe in a sense for Shittosa. Rav Moshe says that Kolzman, that the wife, the husband and wife adopt the daughter, so Kolzman, that the wife is still alive, so Rav Moshe says he doesn't think there's a problem of Yichud. Why? It's not Ishto Hima necessarily, the wife may be on a trip. So Rav Moshe says because the context of the husband's going to be mezana with the adopted daughter, if his wife ever finds out about it, so it's a lo yuman ki supar, what's going to happen to him? So that serves as the deterrent. This is Rav Moshe Lishitosa by the doctor's offices, that we have these new modern deterrents, that even though Chazal didn't speak about these wild cases, but if we could size it up, it appears l'fi the Chachmei Ador in this generation, it appears that it's so unlikely that Kolzman, the mother's around, that the husband would ever be chayte with the daughter, so that serves as the deterrent, that would be mut. Rav Moshe says, but if the wife's no longer alive, or the couple gets divorced, so then you talk have problems, then you have issues. So anyway, hopefully that won't happen. And when it happens, maybe the woman will be married, she maybe won't be living with the father, whatever it is. But Kolzman, that they're living as a family together, so Rav Moshe said, because of that Mirsa story, he thinks perhaps that would be a possible tzad lahafal. Again, this is a very, very sensitive, perhaps the most sensitive issue in Uchus Yichud. So anyone who has any Yishayla should really speak to a competent Rav as to how to structure one's life in such a way that one doesn't have any issues in terms of Yichud under these circumstances. Okay, so we tried at least to give a rush of prachim as to some of the Shahs that come up from the Mais and Uchus Yichud. We definitely mikhla. Is that the plan? Is that what happens? Is that what usually happens? Is that the schedule?
Yeah, that's what happened yesterday.
That's good. It happened yesterday. It happened today. Okay.